This morning, our scripture comes out of the Gospel according to John, verses 10, 11 through 18. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. A hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it up from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus. You know, power is a word that we hear a lot lately. So what do you think about when you hear that word power? You know, a lot of different things may come to mind depending on what situation we're sitting in. Maybe political power. You know, somebody with a lot of political clout is able to change whole communities. You know, we saw that. Look what was going on back in November. And even before that, with all the political stuff going on, it got to the point where I wanted to go back on TV land and find something other than what was going on in this world, because you just got sick of hearing it. Billions and billions of dollars were spent to see who was going to be in power. There's a lot of power when you start combining the economical and political side of things. Some people think of the power in the terms of our military. You know, it's represented that image. Remember that we keep seeing in some of these shows that all of a sudden this mushroom cloud is hanging over this portion of Earth. You think about it, power can be used to tear down or it can be used to build up. You know, to me, a nuclear explosion is always a very scary thing. And I look at what's going on in the world now with a different part of the world, some of the talk that's going on. And I don't know about you, but I get a little bit nervous when people are trying to sling around the power that they believe that they have and that they can take control of. Whether being used for good or evil, some types of power are dangerous to many. And then over the last, 20-some years, we got a brand new power out there. Some think it's harmless, others don't. It took the world by storm. We see people constantly looking at their so-called smartphones, looking at this power constantly. It's been one of the fastest growing things continually. Yeah, it's had a few slopes, but it's still going up. And of course, that's the power of the internet. You know, Microsoft took off like gangbusters years ago over the internet and different things. People are making remarkably millions of dollars or losing millions of dollars, all because of the power of the internet. And then the biggest power that we really have going that's associated with the internet right now is social media. I have seen personally in my family social media building people up or tearing down people almost to the point of being in deep depression because of the negative ways that power of social media has been used. Now, the flip side of all this is power is what? Powerlessness. You know, one of the buzzwords of our time that we keep hearing is empowerment. You're empowered to do this. You're empowered to do that. I always say you're empowered as long as you mess up, and then you're held accountable for that empowerment. We need to empower people to do certain things. We hear that a lot. Students to learn. We need to have people empowered in church to go out and spread the word of Jesus Christ. We need to empower people to exercise their own rights and things. Powerlessness is one of the worst conditions for a person or a people to have, though. Think about when Moses was speaking his last words to Israel before the entrance in the promised land. Remember, he didn't get to cross over. But he did speak to them, and he warned them of the consequences that they may have if they strayed away from God. And he said this in Deuteronomy 28, your sons and daughters shall be given to another people. Remember that? Continue. While you look on, you will strain your eyes looking for them all day, but powerless to do anything. Then Isaiah, he pointed out to the only true source of power for the powerlessness. He says this in chapter 40. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Now, these words from Isaiah, they lead to an absolutely astounding statement that Jesus made in our gospel reading today. Now, if true, Jesus' words point us to the greatest power of all in the known universe. Listen to this once again. The Father loves me because I laid down my life in order to take it up again. No one else takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up again. And I have received this command from my Father. Now, you know, anybody can lay down their life. You can do that. Anybody can do that. History is filled with these inspiring examples of people who have been out there, and they've given up their life for certain causes. But no one has been able to take it up again. And I think that's key. Harry Houdini, I saw a special on him not long ago. Harry Houdini, he could do all these things, but they were all tricks. They were all magic. They were all optical illusions when you start seeing how he did his different tricks. But the one thing he was obsessed with is communication after death. And he tried to take his life up again. He tried to communicate with other people. He tried to have his mother communicate with him. They're going through mediums and sorcerers and whoever else. He tried, but he could never do it. No other death could be taken up. Nobody has ever done it except for Jesus. Now, five times in this short gospel lesson, he says, I laid down in my life. He says he lays down his life. Then he tells the gathered crowd that he does it in order to take it up again. These people, they didn't know what he was talking about. What do you mean take it up again? They didn't have a clue until maybe it finally happened. But here's the exciting part of this whole thing is that when he says, I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. Now, the word power here in some translations like NIV and NASB, they may translate the word power as authority. But the meaning is quite broad, and it gives the sense that Jesus has this. He has jurisdiction. He has the authority. And he has the power over death. And that he has the ability, or let's say the strength, to overcome death. But the point here, the main thing, the anchor point is that all of this is that Jesus has an intimate relationship with the Lord our God in his unique place in history. He makes the point that he has received the command. It's not a request. It's not an opinion. He received a command from his Father to lay down his life and then take it up again. And here's the essential point. All the power that this world can muster up, that we can even conceivably think of, whether military, economic, political, cannot give life. As much as some would like to believe. As a matter of fact, it's evident in the course of history that the development and the use of power has been more to take life away than it is to enrich it. Think about that. In other words, the power, as you and I have come to know it, is more in laying life down, but never has come close to reversing death. And all of this goes to the heart of life's meaning. That life is a gift, and only God can give the gift of life. You know, from the very beginning of the biblical drama until the very end, Genesis to Revelation, Scripture turns on the fact that God creates, he sustains, and he renews life. A lot of y'all know that About 20 years ago, I was in a situation driving down the highway. I had to be taken to the hospital. I had to pull over. Those were the days before the smartphones. We had a great big phone in the car. We had to lean way over and pick it up because everything else was in the trunk. And I called an ambulance and got there, and I was having a heart attack, and I went down for the count, and I had to be brought back. And people say, well, God didn't bring you back. Some doctors did. They hit you with paddles. I have a different attitude on that, folks. Who gave the doctors the gift that they could come up with the way to bring a life back? You know, I don't get into this debate about science versus God. To me, there's an interconnection. God gives the gift that people can learn to help save lives that God deems to be saved. I'm not going to get into evolution and all that mess because we get into theories and all that other, and that's for a different time, and by the way, I'll probably be gone by then. But the words are awesome when you reflect on them. It's in our scripture. And when we look at other words in the Bible, how it has to be about giving life and the breath of life. Genesis chapter 2, right at the very, very beginning of the creation of life and the world itself. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. The Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. You know, life, it's beautiful, it's precious, but it's a vulnerable gift. And a gift that's been given to us by God. You know, we can quite comfortably refer to our life even as God's breath. Because that's how it started. You know, I'm willing to bet most people never really thought about it that way. God's breath, the way that life started. You know, when life as we know it comes to an end, there's nothing within all the realms of human power that can reverse that situation. Because if everybody knows that death is irreversible. It is true that great gains are being made to improve, you know, the quality of life and the length of life. You think about people are talking about the Supreme Court, all the people that are in their 80s that are in there. Some people say that's too long, but life at the Supreme Court is a lifelong adventure. But when the forefathers had that, people were only living to be about 50. Well, if that's the case, we'd be pretty much empty in here now, right? So there have been great gains and strides in life that we do go on longer. People are living into their 90s and their 100s with some pretty good quality of life. But none of these gains or advances in knowledge can give the gift of life. Now think about the question with me for a moment. Why? Why is that? Why in the world would Jesus lay his life down? Why would he do that? And just let it sink in for what he said in that, talking about the good shepherd. I laid down my life for the sheep. Jesus didn't lay his life down to impress the powers that be. He didn't have to. He didn't lay it down to bring about history's greatest event, even though it was. He didn't do that. He didn't lay down his life as an example of what it means to be a martyr in a great cause. The martyrs came later. It was for the sheep. That is, it was for all the followers of Christ. You know, later on in John's Gospel in chapter 10, Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." The sheep. Us. He laid down his life for you, and he laid it down for me. You've heard me talk about this the last four Sundays. He laid it down for you, and he laid it down for me. And just as he laid down his life for the sheep, so he took it up again for the sheep, which are you and me. As everybody knows, death is irreversible unless God can once again breathe life into the one who had died. Listen to the rest of the words that Jesus spoke in John 10 when he talked about his followers. He said, "My sheep hear his voice. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand." Let me read that little part again. No one will snatch them out of my hand. Jesus came as the good shepherd who gives life for his sheep. And the sheep is defined by the good shepherd, or those who hear his voice and those that follow him. He makes the point to his Jewish listeners that they are the sheep beyond the limit of the circle of Israel. And they're the ones that belong to his fold. And these will also listen to his voice and become part of the flock of God, the much larger picture. So who might they be? This shepherd is journeying into the powerful realm of death. You know, there's some remarkable words in Dr. Luke's gospel that describe this journey into death like this. He says this in Luke chapter 23. Then Jesus, crying with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." Having said this, he breathed his last. See, Jesus gave up his own breath of life in order to take that life up again in the victory over that which was the greatest power of all. To his followers, the risen Christ now gives that which life, it can never be destroyed by the power of death. You know, when Jesus came to his gathered disciples after the resurrection, the Gospel of John uses the imagery of the divine breath. Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." I mean, those words almost send chills up your spine, don't they? He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And through these words are Jesus' commission to his disciples, that they speak to the life that only God can give. You know, as it turns out, the greatest power of all is the power of faith. It is the power of trust in that Christ reverses the destructive power of death. You know, think about this. The price of gaining political, military, or economic power can be really high. And amazingly, the greatest power of all is a gift. And it's the gift that God, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, gives to us. As he says to them and to us, "I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish."